So today I'm going to ask you to think for a second about your best friend. Now, if you're like me, I've had a few different best friends over the years, but I want you to think about that best friend and what it was that made he or she your best friend. For me, my best friend was a guy I knew in college, and he was my best friend because he could always lift me up. He could always cheer me up. Whenever I was down or I had a problem, he could make me forget about it, mostly by making me laugh. We had the same sense of humor, and we just used to crack each other up. My best friend was one of those people I could go to for advice. Even though we were both 18 years old, we had not very much wisdom between us. We still would go to one another for advice because we knew that whatever we said to one another came out of love. We really had each other's best interest at heart. My best friend and I used to listen to one another. We heard each other's stories, and we created great memories together. The thing about it was, me and my best friend, when I was with him, I felt like my best me, because we saw the best in each other. Now, if you ever had a best friend like that, you're a lucky person. If you happen to have married that best friend, you're really doing great. But even our best friendships can sometimes suffer strain, can sometimes come under a little bit of strain. And in these days of lockdown, it's possible that even though we're not seeing our friends, best or otherwise, that built-in system of friends, those live-in friends, otherwise known as our family and our roommates and those types of people, we may be feeling a little bit of friction by now, maybe a little bit of frustration sometimes. And that friction and that frustration can cause fissures. It can cause ruptures in our relationships with people. And they sometimes need a little bit of tending, a little bit of repair or reconciliation. Now, whether we like it or not, whether we think it should be this way or not, or whether we think we're prepared for this or not, God has called those of us who are following Christ to a ministry of reconciliation, to be those people who reach out and repair those relationships. And in this passage today, Paul is giving us a little bit of a look into how it is that we can carry out that ministry and become those people that can carry out that ministry of reconciliation. And it begins by us becoming really best friends with our eternal best friend, and that's God, and to begin to see things from his point of view. Now, Paul begins this letter. He's talking to the Corinthian church, and they were a group of people that were having real difficulties with their friendships in their church. They were having a real difficulty just being decent to one another. Paul says at one point in this letter that the people were full of quarreling and jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, slander, gossip, and if that isn't enough, impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery. So hopefully we're doing better than that in our homes, even under lockdown. But these people were really having difficulties with one another. They were having difficulties being that kind of friend to one another. Now, Paul had told them what their relationships should look like in his first letter. And you remember this. You all know this. He told them what their friendships in Christ should look like, and he called it love. It was the kind of love that's an agape love, the kind of love that Jesus modeled, the kind of love that is patient with one another and kind with one another, the kind of love that does not look for evil, but looks for the good, that sees the best in one another, that stands by one another, the kind of love that never fails one another. Now, the Corinthian church, the people in Corinth, they were having a hard time measuring up to that standard of love. And it really is difficult. I mean, that is a high, high standard. But what Paul does, he gives them an idea how they can start to do that in their friendships, in their relationships, in their church, how they could start to move towards that loving relationship. And he says the first thing to do in this passage, the first thing to do is to no longer regard one another from a worldly point of view. He says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, which is what those Corinthians were doing, and it's what we tend to do. Look at one another from a worldly point of view. And what that means is to begin to look at one another in a kind of utilitarian way. Looking at one another, whether we're conscious of it or not, in terms of how that person's gonna impact me, how that person's gonna influence me, how that person's gonna infuriate me. It's all kind of me, me, me. It's like looking at the whole world and people around you with a pair of glasses on that say M-E, right in the center. Everything that we look at is kind of like centered on ourselves. And it's kind of the way that we fall into naturally. That's kind of our nature, is to default to that self-centered point of view. Well, Paul doesn't even hold that against people. He says that at one point he was looking at Jesus Christ himself in that way. That when Jesus had his ministry on earth, Paul only saw Jesus himself in terms of the threat that he posed to Paul. He looked at him as a person that was threatening the way that he thought and the lifestyle he wanted to live. He didn't see Jesus as a great teacher. He saw him as a blasphemer. He didn't see Jesus as one who was the Son of God, but rather as someone who was dishonoring God and defaming God. He saw Jesus as one whose miracles were tricks, and as one whose death on the cross was proof positive to Paul that he was cursed by God and that Jesus was hated by God. But all of that changed, as it has for so many people, when he had an encounter with the living Christ. When Christ came into his life in a powerful way, he began to see nature and himself and others in a whole new way. Paul no longer saw people simply as sinners who were alienated from God and enemies of God. Rather, he began to see them as sinners to whom God has reached out his hand in reconciliation. He saw them as people that God loved so much that he reached out his hand in friendship through Jesus Christ. When he began to see people that way, it changed the way he saw everything. He began to see the best in himself and the best in others. He began to see everything differently, and that began to change who he was at a fundamental level. He thought of himself after that moment as a brand new person, as a new creation with a brand new mission to help other people become new, to help other people understand and take that hand of God in reconciliation and friendship, to become best friends with God. That was the mission. It's the mission that he tried to move those Corinthians towards taking seriously in their time, in their church. And whether we like it or not, think it should be this way or not, think we're up to it or not, it's the mission that every single one of us is enlisted into as well, as soon as we take faith in Jesus Christ. It's our mission. But it's not an easy one. It's not an easy mission. Sometimes it's hard to do. Because the thing is, no matter how we have decided to follow Jesus, we're still living in a fallen world. and we are fallen people. And though we won't intentionally sin, if we have the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be intentionally sinning, but unintentionally we do. We make mistakes. We misunderstand people. We're misunderstood by people. We're going to hurt people. We're going to be hurt by people. We're going to anger people. We're going to be angered by people. We're going to find ourselves at odds with people. But listen, if we're really going to follow Jesus, when those things happen, we have to be the first ones to reach out our hands in reconciliation with God, to reach out our hands in friendship with God and with others. That's what we're called to do. Paul says, we have been chosen. We are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now I know that Christ, the only way to do that, the only way to really be that, is to come into reconciliation with God through Christ day after day after day. Now I know that Christ came once and gave his life for all. He came, and because of his death on the cross, our sins are wiped away from God's memory, and we are reconciled with God. I know that Christ, that God reached out his hand in reconciliation and friendship with us, that when Christ died on the cross, a great exchange happened. He took all of our sin, and we were given his righteousness. His righteousness was imputed to us. Paul says, God made him who had no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. But still, even though God has put out that hand to us, and he will never take that hand away, we drop away from his hand all the time. We continue, because we're fallen people, to do those things that separate us from God and separate us from others. And the only way that I know to stop that is to come before God every single day and renew that reconciliation with him, to come into a realization of that reconciliation with God every single day, to come to him like a best friend, to speak with him, to listen to him, knowing that, yeah, he may chastise us, he may correct us when we need it. He will advise us. He will show us where our failures lie. But like a best friend, God will do this with love and with our best interests at heart. We can trust him to forgive us, but even more than that, we can trust him to empower us to take up that mantle of that ministry of reconciliation, first with him and then with others. We can trust in him to empower us to begin to see the best in ourselves and the best in others. We can be sure he will empower us to stop seeing only from a worldly point of view and instead from a godly point of view, seeing those around us the way he sees them, people who he has created to be in relationship with him, people to whom he has reached out his hand in friendship, people who deep down, whether they know it or not, long for that relationship with him, people who want to be, who ought to be, best friends with God. During this series, we've been talking about how it is that Jesus wants to be the king of our hearts, that our fallen nature, that our fears, that the uncertainty around us shouldn't be the thing that motivates us, that it should be Jesus that rules in our hearts. And it's a good thing to do. because Jesus is, after all, he's the king of life. He's the king of this new life that Paul is talking about. He's also the king with whom we can trust our lives in every aspect, to trust him. He's the king of humility. He's one who comes into our lives not forcing himself, but offering himself, offering us comfort and assurance and salvation. He's the king of hope. He's the one that wherever he has been in our lives, wherever he is right now, and wherever we're going to discover more of him in the future, there is hope. And Jesus is the king of this friendship, who on his through his death on the cross and his vindicating resurrection has made it possible for us to come into friendship with God, to carry out that ministry of reconciliation between us and others, to begin to see each other, not just from a worldly point of view, but from God's point of view. Seeing ourselves and others as people created by God to be in relationship with him. Created by God with a longing for a relationship with him. Created by God to be his best friends. Let's pray.